AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into U.S. politics, specifically as this second Trump administration kind of gets going.
Yeah.
You provided a ton of material from Electoral Vote. We've got articles on everything from cabinet nominations and potential scandals, healthcare, the judiciary.
It really is a fascinating snapshot of this moment in time.
Yeah.
What I think is so striking is how all of these events, which, you know, on the surface seem very separate, are actually all really intertwined.
Right.
And I think they kind of paint a picture of the power dynamics and the challenges that are ahead in this new administration.
Yeah. So let's jump right into that. You flagged this article about Trump's cabinet picks. And I think what was really interesting here is how these specific choices, particularly figures like Hegseth for defense, RFK Jr. for some unspecified role, Gabbard also for an unspecified role, and then Oz for health and human services. I mean, all of those together seem to signal up a pretty significant shift in how the administration may be approaching things.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting is the article goes into detail about the pressure tactics that are being used to get these nominations through.
Right.
You know, there's a particularly concerning story about Senator Ernst being threatened with a primary challenge.
Oh, wow.
And even worse, if she didn't support Hegseth.
Jeez.
And this really suggests, I think, a willingness to strong arm the process.
Yeah.
And it raises a lot of questions about the independence of these nominees and frankly, whether they're even qualified.
Well, and that's the thing, right? You know, you start to see these red flags. And then there was this other article about Gabbard struggling to gain traction for any kind of position. And the article kind of links that back to the recent fall of the Assad regime.
Right.
So it seems like her past stance on Syria is maybe coming back to haunt her a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it really highlights how past actions can have, I think, very long-lasting consequences, especially in politics.
Yeah.
You know, and this, along with, you know, some of the rumblings we're hearing from other Republicans who aren't too thrilled about some of the other nominees,
right.
This could be an early sign of cracks in party unity.
Yeah.
And that's going to be something to watch closely, because that unity is going to be crucial if Trump wants to govern effectively.
Well, and speaking of potential cracks, you included this article about a scandal that's brewing from the first Trump administration involving the Department of Justice obtaining records of Congress members and staff without proper procedures.
Right.
That's
it's concerning, I think, as an echo of how the past administration approached oversight and transparency.
Yeah.
And this, coupled with predictions that this new administration is going to be just as leaky, if not more so than the last one, yeah. I think it paints a picture of potential instability. And it really begs the question of whether the rule of law is going to be upheld.
It's a little unsettling, I got to say, to see these patterns potentially repeating themselves.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears a little bit to healthcare.
Okay.
You included these really interesting Gallup poll results about public opinion on government involvement in healthcare.
Right.
And Obamacare approval ratings. Did anything stand out to you there?
What I thought was fascinating was how those results, how they kind of clash with another article you sent about a group of Republican attorneys general who are launching a lawsuit against insurance coverage for Dreamers.
Okay.
So it seems like there's this real disconnect between public opinion, which seems to be leaning more towards the government being involved in healthcare, and then the actual political agenda that's being pushed here.
It's a real head scratcher. The article actually suggests that this could be a really unique moment for Republicans to enact some meaningful healthcare reform without facing that usual socialism backlash that they're so worried about.
Right.
It seems like the public is open to solutions, maybe even ones with a greater government role.
Yeah.
But then you have this lawsuit that's targeting a pretty vulnerable population,
right.
And it feels very contradictory.
It does seem contradictory. And the article really uses that specific lawsuit to kind of highlight the inconsistencies
yeah.
in denying healthcare based on citizenship status.
Right.
Morally, practically, even politically, you know, the idea that denying a group healthcare is somehow going to benefit the system as a whole, just it doesn't hold up under scrutiny.
No, it definitely feels like a really short-sighted and potentially very harmful approach.
Yeah.
Then there's this article about the Judges Act, and this seems like another example of partisan politics kind of getting in the way of progress on a pretty important issue.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The article explains how we really do need more federal judges. It's a pressing issue.
Yeah.
But it seems like both parties are just using it as leverage.
Okay, so help me understand what's at stake here.
Sure. So the Judges Act, it's basically trying to add more federal judgeships.
Okay.
To deal with all these case backlogs.
Right.
And just to make the courts run more smoothly.
So it's a very practical matter of just making sure the courts can actually function.
Exactly. But unfortunately, it's become this political football. The Republicans want to pass it as it is.
Okay.
And the Democrats are threatening to block it unless it includes provisions for expanding the Supreme Court.
So it's yet another case of how political maneuvering can really prevent us from meeting actual needs.
Precisely. And this is a situation that could backfire on Republicans pretty badly.
How so?
Well, President Biden has already said he's going to veto the Judges Act in its current form.
Oh, wow.
And Democrats are they're very likely to counter with their own proposal that does include that Supreme Court expansion. So it really puts Republicans in a difficult position.
Yeah.
It just goes to show how this kind of short-sighted political gamesmanship can have some pretty big unintended consequences down the line.
It's a good reminder that that politics rarely has straightforward solutions.
Indeed. And it's important to understand the nuances of these situations to really grasp the implications of what's happening.
Let's move on to something that I found really interesting.
Yep.
The changing landscape of the Democratic Party. You highlighted this article about Andy Beshear taking on a leadership role in the Democratic Governors Association.
Yes. And what makes this interesting is that you know, Beshear is a Democrat who won in a very red state.
Right.
And his success suggests that there's a real appetite out there for more pragmatic leadership, something that kind of goes beyond those traditional party lines.
Yeah, he really does seem to connect with voters who might not typically vote Democrat.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So his rise within the party, you know, along with Paul Krugman leaving the New York Times.
Yes, right.
And his commentary on how the public really seems to resent elites. All of this could signal a shift happening within the Democratic Party.
Okay.
Maybe a move away from this ideological purity and toward a more pragmatic approach that really focuses on addressing the concerns of everyday people.
That'll be really interesting to see how that plays out.
It will.
And then, of course, there's the elephant in the room.
Right.
This article about Elon Musk being appointed to lead this government efficiency initiative.
Yeah, this one raises some pretty big questions about conflicts of interest. Yeah. The article really dives into, you know, Musk's vast business empire, his history of getting government subsidies,
right,
and what it could mean to have someone with his financial interests shaping government policy.
It does feel like a recipe for trouble, especially when you consider that there are already ongoing investigations into some of his companies.
Yep.
It's like that classic case of rules for thee, but not for me.
It certainly seems that way.
Yeah.
And this is something that we really need to be watching closely. You know, when you have this much power concentrated in the hands of just a few wealthy people,
yeah,
with their own agendas, it really can be a threat to the balance of power that's so crucial for healthy democracy.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
Yeah, we have.
You know, from these controversial cabinet picks and echoes of past scandals to, you know, healthcare debates and the rise of figures like Elon Musk.
Right.
There's a lot to unpack here, a lot to think about.
Yeah, it's a really complex landscape.
It's
and
just,
I think understanding the nuances of all these situations is key to really navigating the political realities that we're all facing right now.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, let's take a quick break. We'll be back soon to delve a little bit deeper into these issues and explore what it all means for the future of American politics.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
So before the break, we were talking about the potential for conflicts of interest with Elon Musk's appointment.
Right.
And it made me think of that article, Paul Krugman's farewell column in the New York Times.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Krugman argues that that this public resentment toward elites
yeah.
has really fueled the rise of these figures who promised to shake things up, often by, you know, targeting those very elites. But the irony, as he points out, is that these figures often turn out to be elites themselves.
Yeah.
Which just feeds that that cycle of distrust.
It's kind of a paradox, isn't it?
It is. And it brings us back to, you know, the nominations and appointments we were talking about earlier.
Right.
You know, these aggressive tactics to push through these controversial figures like Hegseth and RFK Jr.
Right.
It seems like they're just disregarding experience, expertise.
Yeah.
And that could further erode public trust in government.
It's almost like they're sending this message that qualifications don't really matter as long as you're, you know, loyal.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And that message can really resonate with people who feel disillusioned with the so-called establishment.
Yeah.
You know, they might see these appointments as a victory against the system.
Right.
Even if it doesn't actually serve their best interest in the long run.
Yeah, it's a really complicated dynamic.
It is. And this dynamic isn't just playing out at the national level either.
Yeah.
You know, that article about the Democratic Governors Association
yeah.
highlights figures like Andy Beshear, mm-hmm. who, you know, he won in a traditionally red state.
Right.
And they're having this growing influence within the party.
Well, and Beshear is such an interesting case because he really seems to have you know, figured out how to navigate this this really tricky political landscape
yeah.
and appeal to voters across party lines.
He has. And his success, I think, might suggest this growing desire for leadership that's more pragmatic, more results oriented.
Yeah.
It could be a sign that the Democratic Party is shifting away from this ideological purity towards a more pragmatic approach.
It's definitely a trend worth watching. Now, circling back to the healthcare debate for a moment,
okay.
that article about the Republican attorneys general suing to block insurance coverage for Dreamers.
Right.
That's just a really stark example of how this this political maneuvering can have a really negative impact on vulnerable populations.
It is, and it's even more frustrating when you consider those Gallup polls you provided
right.
that show there's a real opportunity here for bipartisan cooperation on healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like most Americans, regardless of party, you know, they support the government being involved in making sure everyone has healthcare.
So why aren't we seeing more movement on this?
It seems to come down to political will, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, both parties seem more focused on scoring points
yeah.
and just demonizing the opposition rather than finding common ground and actually working together to address this this really crucial issue.
It's pretty disheartening to see this constant gridlock, especially on something as vital as healthcare.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this erosion of public trust, you know, the rise of these figures who capitalize on that distress
right.
and the failure of our political system to really address these critical issues.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us?
Yeah.
What's the path forward?
That's the million dollar question, isn't it? I think as daunting as it may seem, it starts with recognizing the problem.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that the system as it is, it's not working as well as it should.
Right.
And from there, we have to demand better from our leaders.
Okay.
Hold them accountable for their actions and really push for meaningful reforms that actually address the root causes of these problems.
Those are all pretty big tasks.
They are. But we can't afford to be complacent. You know, we need to reclaim the narrative.
Yeah.
Reject the cynicism and the apathy that's taken hold.
Yeah.
And believe that that a better future is actually possible.
I like that. It's a message of hope amidst all this uncertainty.
Hope is crucial.
Why?
But it needs to be paired with action. You know, that article you shared about Musk's government efficiency initiative,
it
brought up some really good points about, you know, campaign finance reform, strengthening our democratic institutions, promoting media literacy to combat disinformation.
Right.
These are all areas where action is needed.
They are, but they're so vast. Where do we even begin?
And it can feel overwhelming. But remember, every journey starts with a single step.
Right.
We can start by educating ourselves,
okay,
becoming more informed citizens, mm-hmm, supporting organizations that are doing this work,
right,
making our voices heard by, you know, contacting our elected officials and demanding they prioritize these issues.
And we can't forget about, you know, community organizing, working together to really advocate for change.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's strength in numbers.
Yeah.
And collective action has the power to create real lasting change.
It's a good reminder that that we're not powerless in the face of all these challenges.
Right.
You know, we do have agency. We have a voice.
Yeah.
And we have the power to make a difference.
That's exactly right. It's about reclaiming that sense of empowerment.
Yeah.
And recognizing that our actions do matter,
mm-hmm,
however small they may seem.
Right.
They can contribute to this larger movement for change.
That's a great point. So as we head into the final part of our deep dive,
right,
what are some key takeaways you think our listeners should keep in mind?
Well, I think it's crucial to understand that all of these issues that we've been talking about,
uh-huh,
they're all interconnected.
How so?
Well, you know, for example, the erosion of public trust.
Right.
That's directly linked to the rise of these figures like Musk, who exploit that distrust for their own personal gain.
Right.
And that in turn makes it even harder to address these big issues like healthcare,
right,
climate change.
Right.
Because it undermines faith in the system's ability to solve problems.
So it's this vicious cycle.
It is.
Yeah.
And to break that cycle, we have to address these issues on multiple fronts.
Yeah.
You know, we have to work to restore public trust, hold our leaders accountable,
right,
and push for reforms that actually create a more just and equitable system.
That's a pretty tall order.
It is. But I believe it's possible.
Yeah.
And I think the articles you provided, they offer some really valuable insights into how we can move forward.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've covered a lot of ground, you know, from those controversial cabinet picks to the healthcare debates to the influence of people like Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey through the current political scene.
It really has. And as we wrap up, I keep thinking about this idea of power dynamics, you know, how they play out in all these different situations.
Yeah, that's a key takeaway for sure.
Who has the power?
Yeah.
How they use it and who ultimately ends up being marginalized.
Yeah, exactly.
And that ties directly into, you know, that whole theme of eroding public trust and the weakening of democratic institutions that we keep coming back to.
Absolutely. When people feel like the system isn't working for them, they see those in power acting without any consequences and just prioritizing their own interests. That's when faith in democracy really starts to fall apart.
And we're seeing that happen in so many ways, right? You know, the attacks on the media, these attempts to discredit experts and institutions, all this talk of election rigging, it creates this feeling of disillusionment.
Yeah, it creates an environment where it's much easier for those in power to kind of solidify their control and operate without any accountability.
And that brings us back to figures like Elon Musk, who seem to be using their wealth and influence to shape policy for their own benefit.
Yeah, that article about his government efficiency initiative is a perfect example. It raises some serious red flags about conflicts of interest, especially given, you know, his history of receiving government subsidies and the fact that his companies are still facing legal issues.
It just feels like a situation where abuse is almost inevitable,
yeah,
where personal gain is always going to be prioritized over the public good.
That's the danger of concentrating so much power in the hands of so few people, especially when those people have, these huge business interests that could be directly affected by government decisions. It just undermines the idea of a level playing field, and it erodes public trust in the fairness of the system.
And it's not just Musk. I mean, we talked about that article about the Republican attorneys general suing to block insurance for dreamers.
Right.
That shows how those in power can use their positions to target vulnerable populations and advance these political agendas that are completely out of touch with public opinion.
It's a really disturbing example of how political maneuvering can come at the expense of those who are already marginalized and don't have the resources to fight back.
So where do we go from here? Is there any hope of reversing these trends and actually strengthening our democracy?
I believe there is, but it's going to take a real effort from all of us.
Okay, so what does that look like? What can we do?
Well, I think for starters, we need to we need to break out of these echo chambers that we've all kind of found ourselves in,
yeah,
and start engaging in respectful dialogue with people who see things differently than we do.
Right.
You know, finding common ground and building bridges. That's absolutely essential for a functioning democracy.
We can't just keep getting more and more divided.
Exactly. We also need to be, you know, really critical consumers of information, especially in this day and age of misinformation and disinformation. Mm. It's so important to be media literate, to question your sources, and to seek out different perspectives.
And to support organizations that are fighting to strengthen our democratic institutions, protect voting rights, and promote transparency and accountability in government.
Those are all vital parts of a healthy democracy.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it really comes down to individual action. We need to show up, speak out,
yeah,
and make our voices heard.
It's a powerful reminder that we're not helpless in this situation. Oh. We have a role to play in shaping the future of our democracy.
Exactly. It starts with recognizing that we have agency, that our actions matter, even if they seem small.
Yeah.
They can be part of a much larger movement for change.
Well, this deep dive has been a pretty sobering look at the challenges we face, but it's also been a call to action, I think.
That is good.
You know, it's shown us how important it is to stay informed, to stay engaged, and to really stay committed to those ideals of democracy.
And it's reminded us that the future of our democracy isn't set in stone. It's something that we actively shape through our choices and our actions.
Well, thank you for joining us on the deep dive. We hope this exploration has been informative and that it's sparked some important conversations. And remember, the power to create a better future, it really does lie within each of us.